these well-fathered ones, like the Eupatrids in Greece, the well-fathered Greeks, are again an older group of distinguished and responsible citizens. They have a council. They have a sort of an assembly through which they exercise their authority. It is called the Senate. The Roman Senate comes from the Latin word senex, which means an old man. Think of senectitude and senescence, some words that we use in English. Senex, a group of old men. This might prompt you to think of Sparta and the council of equals above the age of 60, though there were no age requirements specifically for sitting in the Roman Senate. The ordinary people at Rome were the plebeians, the plebs, the ordinary people. Now, there's a good bit of controversy about exactly who were the plebs. Were they pre-existing people sort of in the region of Latium when the people we know as the Romans came in? Were they people who lost out in political struggles at the time when the Romans were sort of settling their affairs with the Etruscans and so on? We don't know with real confidence who exactly these plebs were. It's actually a little bit difficult to say who the well-fathered patricians were. But the point is that there was a group of people, the plebs, over whom another group of people, the Eupatrids, the patricians, ruled. There was an assembly of all citizens that could take legislative initiative. There was an assembly of all citizens. That is rather like the situation that we've seen in the Greek world. But early on, at any rate, any measure taken by the citizen assembly had to be approved by the Roman Senate. Here again, we see something a little bit like the Greek world, a little more like Sparta than like Athens. Remember, at Sparta, the assembly could propose, in a sense, an agenda to the council, and the council could say yay or nay. Now, at Rome, the assembly has a little more initiative in proposing things, you see, but finally the Senate says yay or nay, all right? So, there are similarities. Did the Romans, again, learn this from the Greek cities to the south? Are these simply fairly obvious ways of organizing yourself politically? Perhaps a little of both. Early Rome was very much open to foreigners. Unlike most Greek cities, do you remember in Sparta, you had to be a Spartan citizen to be an equal. At Athens, by the time of Pericles, for example, your mother and your father had to have been Athenian citizens, or you were not an Athenian citizen, and therefore could not participate fully. In very early Rome, the Romans were quite open to foreigners. We're going to see, as time goes by, that openness closed somewhat. It never closed wholly, but it closed somewhat at Rome. Now, almost all of the evidence we have for the creation of the Roman Republic is late, and by late I mean it follows by some centuries, and it tends to collapse into a very short period of time, and it tends to compress developments that probably played out over much longer periods of time and that were very, very complex. This is inevitably the way historical writing remembers remote pasts. You simplify the story, you get it down to its basics, and then that's the story you tell yourselves. So, when we talk about the very early history of Rome, and when we talk about the creation of the Roman Republic, and the Roman Republic will be the object of our investigations here over the next several lectures, we have to recognize that we know most about how the Romans wanted to tell that story, and not so much about what actually happened. Anyway, what does the story look like? Two basic changes seem to have been crucial, and this seems to have been important, both in terms of what happened and in terms of the way the Romans told the story. The first was the emergence of liberty, libertas in Latin, freedom. Now, what freedom meant particularly in the Roman context was freedom of the people to participate rather than to be ruled. Freedom to participate rather than to be ruled. Now, again, we have seen that process unfold in Greek cities. So this is not unique to the Romans, not by any stretch of the imagination. But the Romans laid great stress on this as an early stage, as an early moment in the development of their republic. Now, closely connected to this is the notion of republic. The Latin for that is res publica, which quite literally means a public thing, a public affair, something that belongs to the public as a whole. Not, in other words, something that is res privata. That means private things, a private affair. For example, the affairs of a ruler, the affairs of a king. So that people will be free, and what they do in a certain sense is public. All right. So the participation of people in open institutions was not a kind of an afterthought, but belonged right at the heart of the Roman system. Okay, so liberty then and publicness at the heart of the Roman system, not privateness, not rule by